Acts 14:26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So you remember in Antioch, there had been teachers and prophets, five of them, and they fasted and prayed. And the Holy Spirit said unto them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. And so they did that. They separated them, and they sent them out. That's one sending. But it says also in verse 4 that the Holy Ghost sent them out. So here we see the end of that verse 3, sending of the prophets and teachers. From whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They fulfilled that part. But the sending of the Holy Ghost continued, and here it says some days later, this would be in Acts 15:36. There is sound, yeah. Is there anybody that cannot hear? Doesn't make sense, does it? Answer me if you cannot hear me. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have cracked up there. Let me type it in. Let's see. Can anyone not hear? Can anyone... That doesn't make too much sense anyway, either. Can anyone not hear me? Okay, I know Abiel can't hear me. I just wonder if there are several that can't hear. That means I need to reboot the room. But if he alone can't hear me, it's at his end. Hopefully, he can hear now. Nathaniel, got sound? Okay. Well, if someone else can step in and get these verses, The verse list is for tomorrow, actually. It's the part 6 from February 3rd. But anyway, okay, great. We're at Acts 15:36. We're going to go read through Acts 15:34. So we read the end of Paul's first missionary journey. And we see he's going to set out on another journey, and he's still under that sending of the Holy Ghost, even though the sending of those five prophets and teachers in Antioch had expired there in Acts 14:26. We see in Acts 15:36, and some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Well, that's good. That's moving ahead. I mean, it's not just getting them saved. It's bringing them to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Pardon me. Excuse me a minute. And you recall Paul later sends Titus to Cyprus, so there's a work that continues there. At the time of Paul. Going on to verse 40 in Acts 15. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And that's the line that the word of God follows. It's following God sending his instructions, his word, through Apostle Paul, through his only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. And the writing down of those in the epistles is the giving of the Word of God that we have today, the Bible. So it's not saying that Barnabas and Mark are condemned or that they're not in God's will even. It's just that the Bible follows this line of of where the Word of God came from and the dispensing of the gospel and of the grace of God that that the Lord gave to Paul to give to us. You know, Barnabas and Mark may have done some good things, and apparently Barnabas did do some discipling of, or mentoring, whatever you want to call it, training up, leading to the knowledge of the truth for Mark. And, you know, Paul said later, bring Mark, he's of use for me. So Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they start off on that second missionary journey. And pardon me for calling it that. I don't know what else to call it. I don't see that term in the scripture, but just as a descriptive term, not as a Bible term, okay? So now we find out in this next section here, which is a Body of Christ event that we're going to be talking about, as was what we just talked about. But the Jews require a sign. Jews are wired in such a way that they need a sign from God in order to believe God. That's just generally the way they are. Tongues are for a sign, the Bible tells us, and we'll get to the scriptures for this. They're a sign to Jews, as we saw, Jews require a sign, but not just to all Jews, to the Jews that believe not. So, let's look in Acts 18, verse 6, and we'll read through 11, verse 11. And when they opposed themselves, this would be in Corinth, okay, they've gotten to Corinth, and Paul is sharing with them that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And he's resurrected. He's alive. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And what Gentiles did he go to? Let me just pull up verse 4. Whoever gets there first. four. That when they got to Corinth, it says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded those that were there, the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks were some of the Gentiles. They were Gentiles that often they're called devout Greeks. They feared God, and they blessed Israel by coming to the synagogue and paying their tithes and whatever. So, when he says, I will go to the Gentiles, that's who he's referring to, the Gentiles that were standing there in front of him. And in Acts 18:7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Very close to that synagogue. Okay, close enough to hear what was going on next door. Across that wall. And verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So you have a depletion there of the synagogue. Many of them believed the teaching of Paul. Verse 9, then the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So, just for reference and for verification, let's look at a couple of verses here about the signs. Signs that we're going to see showed up in that assembly, especially because of the proximity. The Jews, look at 1 Corinthians 1:22. Who are the signs for? That assembly that separated from the synagogue was right next door. Right. In fact, it says it's joined to the same building. So For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Not all Greeks that sought after wisdom sought the wisdom of God. There were some Greeks that it says in the next verse, if we would read it, but we don't need to read it. But it's 1 Corinthians 1:23. Unto the Greeks it's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness, except for the Greeks that were devout Greeks that sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. So the point being in this verse is that the Jews require a sign, and then you go down to 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. So the Jews get a sign from God through tongues, but it's not to all Jews. It's to them. It's not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, but for them. I missed a word there. That's not what. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Prophesying serves them which believe. So he's talking about signs, and he says they're for the unbelieving Jews, is what it comes down to. It's an evangelism thing to bring unbelieving Jews into faith in Christ. Faith in God, that God did send his son, the Messiah, and that was Jesus of Mary. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 13. And this all fits in there right in Acts 18 in Paul's visit to Corinth. Acts 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's the emphasis here. Paul to the Corinthians. Put away childish things. When you get to 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, follow after charity. So, tongues, apparently, from the way the highway that Paul speaks of tongues, they served a great purpose in bringing many of these Jews from the synagogue over across to the other side of the wall to Paul's assembly there, where he was teaching, and here now he's reining it in a little bit. They've done their job. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He mentions that again in verse 15. We're going to read through the series of verses, but before we do, let's look down in verse 5. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. So tongues were important. They were accepted. And Paul's saying it's great if you all can speak in tongues. But rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. And here's the point. Why is all this changing? That the church may receive edifying. So there was speaking in tongues, and as we've said, that's an evangelistic tool to bring non-believing Jews as part of the remnant according to the election of grace into the body of Christ. You can see examples of them. One standout example is Silas. He was one of the chief Jews there in the Church of God in Jerusalem, in the little flock church, and he became an apostle in the body of Christ. You know, he transferred over. That's a one-way transfer, though. You can't go back. Nobody can decide to become a Jew. So the point is that the church may receive edifying. And if you recall, 1 Timothy 2:4, that's the will of God. It's a twofold will of God. Who will have all men to be saved? That's what tongues did for the Jews. Got them saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. truth. That's what the edifying that they're shifting into now does. They need to grow past the salvation message. He says, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues except the interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So that's the point there. And that's the whole emphasis in these chapters about the gifts. Paul is saying tongues were fine. You know, everybody should have been able to participate in that. But now it's better to edify than to try and bring in Jews from a language that they don't understand. So, going on down through the text again, we're going to start back at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 through, well, at least verse 6. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. It's unknown, if it's an unknown tongue. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. You don't need to come to church to edify yourself. The thing to do in church is to edify others. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except, you know, the message of tongues is Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. He was buried and he rose again. He's alive today. It was an evangelistic message. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? You've grown past that, in other words. Except I speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or prophesying, or by doctrine. That's what will profit them, not evangelism. At this point, they're already evangelized. 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. That's how we started out, wasn't it? Oh, let me find that verse again. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's the point he's making, for them to put away childish things. Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. All right, so a little later, another, this is also Body of Christ event. Christ reveals to Paul to speak. I have much people in this city, and we read that verse. Look at it again. This is back in Acts, chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. By the way, if you're following that chart, which I hope you are, these verses are on the left column. The center shows, that yellow part in the middle shows whether it's a Body of Christ event or a Israel event. And then the pink or the green, the pink being Israel's events and the green being the Body of Christ events, that's where the verse is, this brief description of the verse, of the verses that are in the left column. So, after that, in verse 22, Paul, this will be another Body of Christ event, Paul's fourth Jerusalem visit. Now, this is not related to his missionary visits. We're counting how many times he goes to Jerusalem, too, and this is the fourth time. And it's a very, 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 very brief one, brief visit. Acts 18:22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And we can read, in fact, let's do that now. Let's read why it was such a brief visit, requiring only three words there from Luke as he reported it. Saluted the church. Before that, he was coming from the landing there at Caesarea, coming uphill to Jerusalem. Then he saluted the church, and immediately he went downhill north to Antioch. So, news is announced of Paul's fourth sending. We have to look, though, later on in Acts. He doesn't tell them right away in Acts 18. His sending is with the gospel of the grace of God to all men. And he tells them in Acts 22, starting in verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I was in the temple, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And verse 18, and saw him saying to me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So in other words, if you go out there and tell them what I'm going to reveal to you now, they'll kill you, and that'll be the end of it. So he says, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive thy testimony concerning me. And Paul, I guess this happens, you know, but we probably do it too without realizing it, arguing with God. Paul says in Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every city, in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send, I will, not I am sending thee far hence unto the Gentiles, I will. So it's a different later sending than this later report of it, which, you know, he was still under the sending there in Acts 13, when they were sent out, which is the actual sending that is told about, that I don't want to get too complicated here, but in Acts 26, 16, 17, 18, 19, he's talking about being sent to those from whom the Lord delivered him. That would be Jews and the people and the Gentiles from whom Christ delivered him. Not all Gentiles. That verse specifies it's the ones from whom Christ delivered Paul. That's Acts 26, 16 and 17, I believe. So he says, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, this happened in Acts 22, Acts 18, verse 22, and in Acts 20, probably the third verse, just before he wrote Romans in the third verse of Acts 20, he writes 2 Corinthians, and this verse isn't in there, so let me just pull it up here briefly. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Paul tells that he already knows some of these things that the Lord revealed to him in Acts 18, but he's not yet allowed to tell it. This is in Acts 20, before what we just read in Acts 22, where he's reporting to the Jews. But here he says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. Will say. Will, that's in the future, right? He's going to tell us the truth. But now, that's present, I forbear. He's holding on to the secret a while longer, because he was not permitted to tell it yet. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And a few verses later there, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, that's in the verse list there, 2 Corinthians 12:12, Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Talking to the Corinthians, this is later on, 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians was Acts 19, just after his visit there in Acts 18. So he visits Corinth in Acts 18. In Acts 19, he writes 1 Corinthians with our gospel in it in chapter 15. And then in Acts 20, he writes 2 Corinthians and then Romans. And in the 2 Corinthians, he says he's still holding on to the secret. I will say the truth, but now I forbear. And then he says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. So by the time you get through with Acts 18 and 19, he's done going to the Jew first and also to the Greek in the synagogues. He starts going to all people according to when his sending was. He was sent just after this, and he talks about it later, after his sending, about 14 verses after his sending, he talks about it, 18 verses, I think. He's sent in Acts 20, verse 6, and he tells about it in Acts 20, verse 24. But we'll get there eventually. But the point is about the signs of an apostle, the signs, the body signs to Israel, from the body of Christ to Israel, well, from Christ through the body of Christ to Israel, that Israel would have observed in the body of Christ assembly right across the wall from them there, those ended when Paul stopped being sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But the signs of an apostle did not end then. They go all the way through Acts 28. And then when Israel is totally cast away, we don't see any more signs being reported from Paul or about Paul. Excuse me just a moment, please. Acts. Hold on. Acts 19, verse 11. And God wrought or finished, completed special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So again, these are signs of an apostle. These are not the body of Christ signs that he talked about in Acts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Different signs, different type of signs. There are five different type of signs that we know of in the Bible. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, now these are Jews, these are not body of Christ people, took upon them to call over them them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Then and there were seven. I have to laugh when I read this, I'm sorry. But I know it's true, and I'm not doubting it when I laugh, but you'll see, I think. Verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a priest, and chief of the priests, which did so, did this practice of naming the name of the Lord Jesus over these people with evil spirits. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? it gets me every time I read that the people trying to imitate Paul, I guess, and the devil knew they were counterfeits. Okay, another body of Christ event. And we find in Acts 19, verse 20, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So Paul is heavily into the writing of the epistles by now. It doesn't say that the word mightily spread the word of God. It says mightily grew the word of God. There was getting to be more and more of the word of God. It was being revealed to Paul. It was being acknowledged by the body of Christ prophets. And it was being written down, and the teachers were teaching it. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And we see after Paul's Corinth visit there, Paul's third journey. Acts 18:22, when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church. So we're here to this this vision that Paul saw of the in the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling him to go to all that. No, he doesn't tell him to go to all people. He tells him, in the future, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to send you to all people. So the verse reads, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, this is verse 23, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So that's, you know, he's still preaching the gospel when he comes to people that need it, but he's concentrating on strengthening all the disciples. Another body of Christ event is Paul's fourth sending, because you've got two sendings there in Acts 13, one by the prophets and teachers, and one by the Holy Ghost. And you've got a previous separating, which he was sent to preach the gospel of God, and straightway he preached the gospel of God in the synagogues, Acts 9. Just after he was saved, he was separated unto the gospel of God. I call that his first sending. The two in Acts 13, 1 through 4, makes 2 and 3, and this would be the fourth one, his sending to all men, when he was actually sent, not just told he was going to be sent. So he was sent with the gospel of the grace of God to all men, and that surpasses the gospel of Christ, being the same message, but just to the Jews and the Greeks. Now, when he comes to Jews and Greeks, or to Spaniards or Libyans or whoever, he preaches the gospel of the grace of God. And it's not exclusive. It doesn't exclude the Jews and the Greeks. It just widens it to include them and everybody else. Starting, you know, it's the start of the dispensation of the grace of God. And it's the end of the dispensation of the gospel of Christ that was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's superseded. So let's read the verse. This is Acts 20, verse 6, when he's actually sent. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And that's an interesting proof there that he does have a new gospel in Troas, his first stop. But let's, I noticed, and you noticed, I'm sure, that there is no word there about Paul go to all men now. So for that, let's look at Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So Paul's talking about giving and receiving and when they began, and he says that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, they began giving to them. Well, the point is, he gives definition there of when was the beginning of this gospel. Well, it had to be that gospel, because we know the beginning of the gospel of God was at least when Jesus Christ mentioned it in Matthew 16, verses 18 through 21, he mentions that I am the Son of God, the Christ, and I'm going to be have to go to Jerusalem and be and suffer many things, be crucified, and resurrected, rise again. So there's the three elements of the gospel of God that Jesus tells Peter when he says, I will build my church. And you get the gospel of God in Acts 2 when Paul is preaching to Israel in the temple there at the Pentecost feast. You get the gospel of God when Paul is preaching straightway in the synagogues in Acts 9. Acts 13, you get it again before he gives, in the sermon there, before he gives them the gospel of Christ. So, it's not the gospel of God. That began way before when he sailed away from Philippi. By the way, look in Acts, where is it? Acts 16, 12, I believe it is. Acts 16, 12. Let's see what that is. Acts 16, 12. Yeah, that's it. Acts 16, 12 says, and from thence to Philippi, which is, now it says here, is now you Philippians know, let me see. Acts 20, verse 6 says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. Well, Acts 16, 12 says, Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. So, when they sailed away from Philippi, they were sailing away from Macedonia, a chief city in Macedonia, in fact. And that's what Paul says in Philippians 4:15. You Philippians know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. Well, that's when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, there in Acts 20, verse 6. That's how we know when that gospel began to be preached. It wasn't the gospel of Christ. He was sent with the gospel of Christ in Acts 13. You can see him preaching it later in Acts 13, there right in the synagogue of the Antioch of Pisidia Jews. So I don't have this in the verse list either, at least not right here, but we need to look at the confirmation again in Acts 20, 18 verses later, or maybe 19. Anyway, it's in verse 24. Pardon me. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I may finish my course with joy. Well, that's what he had been sent on all along. And he says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the first mention in your Bible of either the gospel of the grace of God or the dispensation of the grace of God. Acts 20, 18 verses after Acts 20, verse 6, when he was sent, according to Philippians 4:15. So, this sending in Acts 20, verse 6, when Christ sent Paul far hence to the, far hence means far away, but it was to the far off Gentiles, those Gentiles that are called far off Gentiles in Ephesians 2, verse 13. And that supersedes Christ's earlier sending to the Jews and the Jew blessers, seven chapters earlier in Acts 13, verses 2 and 4 of that sending. And let's read those alone without the part for the sending from the Jews that was in Antioch of Syria. Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. There's Cyprus again, where Barnabas had gone earlier. I'm just trying to get the sequence right. Let me think for a second. Was that where he went earlier? No. No, it was later that he went there. This is Acts 13 that they're being sent out, and it was in Acts 15, and toward the end of Acts 15 that he went to Cyprus. So, all right, we're coming up to another body of Christ event. You can see things are concentrating in the body of Christ once Paul is saved. And that's the same spot we're in today. It's the same situation we're in today. Everything has to do with the body of Christ. You can't go to Israel's doctrines and teachings that the Lord Jesus taught Israel, and only Israel, when he came and walked the earth. You can't take those and apply them to us today, because we're not under the law. We're under grace. And Israel fell in Acts 7, and everything after Acts 7 has to be done according to the doctrine revealed by Christ to Paul after he saved him on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. So, body of Christ, let's see, Paul brought, this is a thrilling story, an account, in Acts 20, the first stop they make after he's sent to all people. But just as prelude to it, let's review Acts 2 Corinthians 12:12. 2 Corinthians 12:12 that Paul is going to exercise here. It's not a body of Christ sign. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, "Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And we see starting in Acts 20, verse 9. Acts 20, verse 9, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching," this is longer than your preacher, he preached all night, as we'll see here in a minute, because this is his first chance to preach the news after he had received that sending after they sailed away from Philippi. Somehow we don't get the wording in scripture, but we know that that's when it happened, from Philippians 4:15. And then in verse 9, starting in Acts 20 verse 9, he's in Troas, and this guy, I picture him as a young lad, I don't know, Eutychus. Oh, it says there, yeah, a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, he fell out the window and was taken up dead. Verse 10, "And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And when he therefore was come up again, Paul being come back up to that third floor meeting, or to the meeting, I don't know if Paul was in the third floor too or not, or if it was like a loft. It was a loft, I think, wasn't it? Finding my place. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, that's all night he preached. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. In other words, they were very comforted. All right, one more. We're going to close after this, but one more brief body of Christ event. Paul's fifth Jerusalem visit. His visit coming back to Jerusalem after he had received that information that Christ told him they won't receive it, the Jews won't receive it if you tell them about it. And he left Jerusalem right away, went to Antioch, remember? Then he went on his third missionary journey. And now he's coming back to Jerusalem. Acts 21, verse 17. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And it develops from that. But we'll take a break here, and we'll hit some more of these things tomorrow. There's actually an Israel event that slips in here in Acts 21, and then we'll go back to some more body of Christ events. But it's time for questions now. Any comments, questions, bring them up now.